Hello, and welcome to the Project Elected podcast. Project Elect is a nonpartisan nonprofit whose goal is pretty simple. We want to get more Latter-day Saint women involved in public service. On this podcast, we interview amazing Latter-day Saint women who are involved in public service. Hi, my name is Audrey Perry Martin. I'm the founder of Project Elect and the host of this podcast. I am so excited about our guest today. I've been wanting to talk to her for a long time, been hearing about her forever. Katie Witt is her name, and she has run for Congress. She's been mayor of Kaysville, among many other wonderful things. And I am excited to hear her story and have her give us some advice today. So thank you so much for being here, Katie.
Oh, well, thank you for the invitation. I'm really excited.
So, Katie, would you start out and just introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your background and experiences and your journey in public service.
Many people are interested in like what led me to be involved in politics in the first place. And I kind of go back to my dad. And my dad was a reporter and he covered the Utah State Legislature when I was little. And that kind of sparked an interest because that's what we talked about around the table, right? And then we also had refugees stay with us when I was little, Vietnamese and Polish refugees. And then I was an exchange student to South Africa, kind of towards the end of apartheid. And I was there when Nelson Mandela was released. So it was pretty exciting. That's kind of what drew me to politics in the first place. I ended up, first race was run for a county commissioner position in Colorado. And then I ran for state senate. And then I ran for a city council position in Longmont, Colorado, which I actually got on. And it was great. And I loved it. And then my husband got a job here in Utah, and we moved here in 2014, ran for city council in Kaysville, didn't make it, ran again for mayor, made it. And then when I was mayor, I ran for Congress. So it's been a whirlwind.
Yeah, that's a lot of offices in a short period of time, a lot of elections. It interests me how you lived in Colorado and you probably had contacts there and built up a network, and then you moved to Utah. What was that like? Was that discouraging to think you had to start all over, or you were just, I want local government and I'm going to do this?
You know, it was a challenge because I knew so many people in Colorado, loved the people, loved working with people. And, you know, you kind of build up institutional knowledge on how things work. And then you move to a different state and it works just ever so slightly differently. So it was a challenge. But one of my skills is networking. I love getting to know people. I love learning what other people have to bring to the space. So it was a bit discouraging, but also it's a fun thing. It's a fun thing for me to meet new people. So I just found things that I could do. I actually started something called Kaysville Condensed. I didn't make it onto Kaysville City Council, but I'm a local government nerd anyway. So I would go to the city council meetings and then I would do a little Facebook video and update people of what happened at the city council meeting. And I'd say, I went to the Kaysville City Council meeting, so you didn't have to. And here's what happened, you know, and I'd choose like three things that were important. I got to get to know a lot of people through that. You find things like that to do.
Well, and that's such a great idea, especially for someone who's interested in local government and potentially running at some point. Nobody goes to city council meetings unless you're being honored and then you and your families go and then everybody leaves afterwards. I've been to a bunch of these, right?
Yes, exactly.
And then there's like three people in the audience and that's it. And so the people who are updating other people on what's going on at school board meetings or city council meetings, that's an important thing to do.
It is very important. I did my own spin, but I knew a mayor in Westminster, Colorado, Nancy McNally was her name, and she got invited to go to a school board meeting to talk about an issue, you know, as a parent. And she went and she was interested and she stayed for the rest of the meeting. And then she wanted to know what happened and they didn't make a decision that night. So she went back the next time and she sat through the whole meeting that time. And then she just ended up going to the school district meetings and she became the person that everybody relied on for information of what was going on the school board, right? And then when somebody was stepping off, they said, hey, you know what? You should run for the school board. And that's how she originally got involved. Just showing up is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And you become the expert. It's not, exactly. There's not a lot of people who are willing to sit through all those meetings. So if you go and sit through them and listen to what's happening, you are the expert. That's great. I love that story. I haven't heard of somebody who's run for office and done that. I've known a couple people, like locally in my community, who were the people who went to the meetings and then ran and won, right? It happens. Yeah, that's fantastic. So tell me about what you're doing now.
I loved being mayor. I loved working with the people, the staff. I just really enjoyed it. And so I decided to go back to school and I got my master's in public administration. I kind of had my two worlds combined, my Colorado world and my Utah world and my MPA world. I found a job with a company called Magellan Strategies in Colorado, somebody I had known in Colorado. And what they do is they do opinion polling for local governments, special districts like school districts, fire districts, think tanks, in order for people to understand where the populace is. In Colorado, they have a law that says that all tax increases have to go to a vote of the people. And so therefore, they're really interested in understanding if their ballot initiative is going to pass or not. So anyway, that is what I'm doing now. Love it. And getting to meet a whole bunch more people and learn how different organizations are dealing with struggles of how to fund things that need to be funded.
That's interesting. And you probably get a pretty broad based perspective of it if you're doing all this polling for different local governments. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, it's in like rural areas, they have a different take on things than urban downtown Denver or, you know, but everybody's trying to get to the same end point, which is taking care of the needs of the individuals and the area in their district.
I love that you found something that kind of puts everything together to work on.
Yeah.
So I know running for office isn't really a solitary effort. It sounds like you've done it a lot. When you decided to run, how did you gather a team? Who did you tap to give you advice and help you on the campaign trail? And how was it different the first time you ran versus the third or fourth time? And changing networks and all that. How'd you build the team? Yeah.
Okay. So the first time I ran for county commissioner in Boulder County, Colorado. Kind of backed into it because the fact was that one of the county commissioners got himself appointed as Parks and Open Space Director, as well as being a county commissioner, which made him his own boss, which I thought was a problem, a conflict of interest. So I was going around talking to people saying, are you going to run against so-and-so? Are you going to run against so-and-so? And since this guy was like, I think it was a 12-year incumbent, right? So everybody's like, no, I will not be running against him. So, and then finally, I'm like, fine, I'll run against him. I was of the minority party in that county. It was impossible. But I actually ended up getting, I think it was over 40% of the vote, which was really pretty good for somebody of my party in that county. And I didn't die, but people did come to help me because they believed that this guy should not have gotten elected. I just had random people say, I have some time, what can I do? And I'd like, can you put out some yard signs for me? Because that would be helpful. I had two or three really helpful people who had been in politics before. They knew the uphill battle that I had, and they kind of took me under their wing and helped me. And they were very clear that I wasn't going to win. And I was okay with that because I had small kids at the time. They're like, okay, this is how you do it. I had a former county commissioner tell me how to do things. And I had a former state legislator and her husband helped me as well. And it was just really nice to learn. That was my first experience. Then I was running for state senate, another position that I wasn't going to get. And it was like token help here and there. But basically, I was a name on the ballot and that was pretty much it. But when I ran for city council, I had a lot of people who didn't like the incumbent. And so I had a lot of people coming around and helping me. One of the things you have to do as a candidate, especially at that level, is you have to manage your own campaign, basically. That's something you learn as you go. I still am learning every time I run. It's like, oh, actually, I would do this differently, you know? coming here to Utah, here I had all this information on campaigning and I thought I knew what I was doing. And then yard signs were a big deal one place, not a big deal somewhere else. Because anyway, the first time when I ran for city council, Kaysville is a very tight-knit community, smaller community than the one I was in. And people didn't know me very well. But there's no better way to get to know people than to run for office. It's fun, especially knocking doors. I highly recommend knocking doors. Whatever you're running for, please knock on doors.
Yeah, I mean, you do. You're right. You get to meet a lot of people. I love your whole perspective on this, how you've run for so many different things and you just dived in and your response was, I didn't die, right?
Yes.
Because I feel like women often have so much fear about jumping in the political arena and running for office. And how do you keep this positive perspective even after you lose, even if you're running a race you know you're going to lose? Tell me about what's going on in your head during those periods and how you...
Okay.
Yeah. Keep upbeat.
You have to be clear about why you're running. Sometimes people run for office just to get their name out there and they want to run later for something else. And that's a perfectly valid reason to run. There's no reason why you should not do that. Another reason why you might run is because there is an issue that is really important to you that is not getting the attention that it needs. And maybe your goal is not actually to get elected, but you want to steer the conversation throughout the election season so that more attention gets put on this issue, right? So if you are able to steer the conversation to that issue and you don't win, you still won because you were able to direct people to an issue that was important. There are different reasons or outcomes that you want to look at when you're running for office. And that way, you never are losing, right? Because you're always learning more, getting to know more people. You will never come out a loser in a campaign.
I love that. You're never losing as long as you have the right perspective and the right goals going into it. What inspired you to run for office for the first time? What actually drove you to run? What issues did you care about? What made you dive in there? Especially since you said you had little kids.
I felt like I needed to give people an option, right? And a lot of people agreed that he should not be his own boss. So that was the first time. The next time I actually was asked to run for the state Senate because I had worked on Mitt Romney's campaign in Colorado and people knew me. And so they thought you should run for state Senate against the Senate president, which was a horrible idea if you actually wanted to win. But I was fine because they needed somebody to run and I was happy to do it. And I learned a lot. I kind of went into that election with the attitude of, you know, they asked me, I should do it. And that rarely happens, by the way. In my experience, I rarely get asked to run for anything. I generally choose what I want to run for.
It makes it important to ask people to run who you think would be good, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure that you've heard that women actually need to be asked to run like at least 7 times before they'll run. If you doubt that you have the ability to serve as an elected leader, just go to the meetings and you will go, oh my gosh, I can totally do this because I would go to the state legislature and listen and sit in on meetings and stuff like that. I'm like, that person's an idiot. And that weren't, you know, or this person's is just like me. Just go and watch people. These are normal people. They aren't any smarter than you. They just have different life experience, something that you would bring to that space, which is really valuable.
So talking about that, I wanted to ask you, we talk a lot about women serving in public service at Project Elect, right? And one thing that a lot of them say is holding them back is that they don't feel qualified. And you touched on that. What else would you tell a woman who doesn't think she's qualified to run for political office?
This was an interesting thing that somebody did for me when I was thinking about when I was going to run for Congress, right? There is this imposter syndrome that goes into even being a political candidate, right? Like, I'm no good at this. And So they're like, okay, tell me the perfect candidate and tell me your political heroes, right? And then what they did is they pulled up, okay, well, this political hero that you have and this political hero that you have, they are so wildly different, right? There is no one way that you need to be. If you think you're unqualified, just showing up to the meetings and listening makes you qualified. That is really important. You're probably more qualified than some of the other people that are going to run because they are not doing that.
So the other thing that I feel like holds women back is the negativity in politics and how nasty it can get. Have you experienced that running for office as many times as you have? And how do you deal with that?
If you made it through middle school and high school, you can run for office. So I had this incident where I had some really huge signs, some 4x8 signs, and they had my picture on them. Somebody came around and put a mustache on me on one of the big posters. So anyway, I took a picture of it and put it on Facebook. And I said, I mustache you for your vote. You can turn negative stuff into positive, funny stuff. But when you are campaigning, there is such a thing as campaign brain. And sometimes you yourself, as a candidate, will make decisions that might be seen as negative. And you probably know that they're negative. You got to do your best not to do that. Have good people around you to tell you to knock it off or whatever. And when somebody else does it, you got to give them some grace. Don't engage as much as possible. Usually at the local level, it is not bad because everybody knows each other. Same with school districts, and it's a smaller area. And so most people know each other and they're not going to pick fights with you that bad. I don't think they might disagree with you, but honestly, I have found that especially in local government, it's been pretty manageable. And I don't know if that's the same for everybody, but that's how it has been for me. But I will admit that I've been grumpy with somebody who put their sign right next to my sign after I got that sign location. And I called her up and I gave her a hard time about that. So, and she's like, well, you don't own that fence. Give yourself some grace as well. You're still learning. It's all good.
I appreciate that, especially the campaign brain. I've worked on a lot of campaigns and that is a real thing. You get so caught up in what's going on in the campaign that you can't really see outside of it for a while.
Yeah, it's true. And that's why you have the good friends.
Why do you think it's important for women to run for public office? And in particular, Latter-day Saint women.
I think it's really important for all women, no matter their religion, to be more involved. Because I think that we have given a lot of space to the men to make a lot of decisions. And they don't see things the same way as we do. I think it's really important for LDS women to become more involved because I think you bring a perspective that is really missing. And also, I think that when you have a worldview, if you're thinking celestially, you are going to look at problems differently and your relationships with other people will probably be better, I think, in every sphere of your life. The most difficult thing is relationships. Having this eternal perspective when you're dealing with individuals that you do not agree with on an issue over the long haul, these relationships are eternal. And that will change the tenor and tone of the political landscape if more people saw things through an eternal lens.
That's important. And I haven't really heard that as much before, that hopefully Latter-day Saints have an eternal perspective on things and are looking long-term and not just for their short-term gains or wins, but we want to make this world a better place and we want to be better people eternally. So that's an important thing to think about. I love it. So what's some helpful advice that you received when you started your political career?
Knock on doors. That was really important. I think that I'm thinking of individuals, the people who took me under their wing when I first started, their big focus was on connecting with people, right? Just average people. And I think that's where I am as well. And don't be so in a hurry to make sure people understand what you're saying. You know the saying that people don't care what you know until that they know that you care. That is totally true. So you need to build relationships with people as you go along. It's very partisan in our country right now. And even within parties, it's fractured, some more than others. Don't write people off. Just because you don't agree with somebody on a particular issue or 80% of the issues, 20% of the time, you're going to totally agree. And so you don't want to write them off when you're going to need their help.
That is so important. And I wish more people understood and talked about that. It seems like the world we're living in today, if you aren't in lockstep agreement on every single issue, they paint you as a villain. People have different perspectives and they have different opinions, but there's always something you can find agreement on. And it also doesn't mean they're a bad person or they're not Correct. Worthy of being your friend or having a conversation with to understand their perspective better. I know your mom. How did your family react to you running for office? And I know you've done it a lot, but what is their general? Is it like, oh, mom's running for another office? Or are they like, yeah, let's go knock on door?
They've become desensitized at this point. But I first ran when I had little tiny people, but I knew I wasn't going to win, so it was okay. But I ran like I was going to win. You know, I ran hard. My little people are now big people. They're all in their 20s now. And so they never knew any better. Mom always runs for office. It's just how it is. And I think that is a good thing because they have seen somebody in their life run for office. So even if you yourself do not see yourself serving in office, but you can run for office, you should. Because what you're doing is you're showing a good example for your daughters and your sons. My husband, he was always baffled why I wanted to do this. And also, I'm kind of an introvert. And so he's like, why are you doing this? Because he also is an introvert. It's like, you have to talk to people. Yes, I know. So he's always just baffled when I want to do these things, but he's always been supportive. But it's funny because he does not cross over into that world at all. And so he'll show up to something and everybody's like, is this your husband? I'm like, yes, I actually am married. This is my wonderful husband. Different marriages are different. In our marriage, what works out best is he keeps the home fires burning and takes care of stuff so I can go out, do my campaigning or go to meetings or what have you. That's how it works best for us.
That's great. And I do think it works differently for everybody, right? So
yes.
Some spouses want to be really involved and are the campaign manager, and others, it's like, keep me out of it. You go do you and I'll support you from behind, right? And either way is fine. It's just whatever works for your relationship and your family. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about when you were mayor of Kaysville and maybe something that you accomplished there that you're proud of.
Some issues you get to control. You pick them up. And then other issues you inherit. And I inherited a road problem and a space problem at City Hall. But I was happy with how we went about trying to solve those. So what we ended up doing with the road issue is setting aside a specific utility fee for roads so that we would have a constant stream of money specifically dedicated to keeping our roads up. Essentially, it's coming out of somebody's pocket every month and it feels like a tax, even though, you know, technically not a tax. But what we ended up doing was really digging into public participation. And had I had this tool of public opinion survey, I totally would have used it, but I didn't know it existed at that time. We had a lot of open houses, we had listening sessions, and at the end of the day, I think it was like, it's around $8 per household, on your utility bill, which a lot of people weren't happy with, but they really like their roads now. So that's good. It was a difficult thing to talk about, but I think we talked about it and we treated our people like they were grownups and had that discussion. I was really happy that we were able to do that. We also had a lot more public participation when we were talking about the need to expand our city hall. We had a very long, months and months and months long discussion about what to do. At the end of the day, we ended up expanding the city hall. And now our employees have enough room and we were not hiring people that we needed because we didn't have anywhere to put them. Right. And so that was a tricky one as well. And I think that we came up with a solution that was the least bad. So, and I'm proud of that. You know, if we had a gazillion dollars, it wouldn't matter. Right. But we don't. So it was a discussion of, okay, here's our problem. What do we do? And I really learned a lot through that process. And I'm really proud of how we came together as a community and as an organization as Kaysville City.
And I think that's an important point you made, that if you had a gazillion dollars, you could do a lot of different things. But given the constraints of what you had and where you were, you have to come up with the least terrible option, right? And
that's
maybe
right.
None of them are great. Maybe some of them are good and none of them are perfect. But that's your job, is to figure out the best way to do and solve that puzzle. What do you like about local government? You said before that you love local government. Why?
Okay, because this is where rubber meets the road, right? So the government that touches your life the most is local government. They're the ones that tell you you have to take your trash cans in by a certain time, and many times electricity, water, internet. Internet was another big thing here in Kaysville that we were struggling with, bad service. So something that we had a big, long discussion about in our community. These are things that touch your life the most. School districts also, you know, that's the future right there. So, and that's also local. County is also considered local government. Up at the state legislature, they do a lot of high-leveler stuff, and they do tell local governments what they can and can't do, because that's their job. But local government, you're serving the people the most.
I wanted to talk a little bit about faith and ask you if you've had any experiences running for office that affirmed to you that what you were doing was the right thing, consistent with what God wanted you to do, or if you ever have questioned whether running for office was a good idea, the right thing or not.
First time I ran for office, when I ran for county commissioner, I did pray about it and it felt like the right thing to do. And I went ahead and did it, did not win. And then I think probably the most recent time I ran for Congress, and I felt so strongly about running at that time. And so it was in 2020, I was serving as mayor at the time, and I just felt very strongly about running. I did not feel strongly that I was going to win. I need to make that clear. But the way 2020 rolled out and all the things that happened at that time, it was very difficult. And learning how to campaign in a different way, because my favorite way is knocking on doors. And I can't do that in such a large area. And so I did most of my campaigning by phone. And it's really hard to get to know people by phone. And you have to like move fast. And also at the federal level, it is a whole nother ball game. Everything that you think bad about politics is actually at the federal level. It is not at the state level. It is not at the local level. What you're thinking of is the federal level. But there are a lot of good people who are trying to make a difference at the federal level. So don't write that off. After I lost, I actually got on the ballot. And I do want to mention that when you're making a decision whether or not to run for an office, look at how many people are running, because we had 12 people originally, 13, who wanted this one seat. We got down to 4 who got onto the primary ballot. But as soon as you have anything more than two, whoever's going to win is going to get probably less than 50%. And that is what happened with me. I think I got 13% of the vote. But I felt pretty good because I was the first Republican woman who had ever gotten on the ballot for that district. So I was like, oh, so that was a success. But after that, I had a real struggle, like, because it was so hard. It was such a difficult experience. I'm like, Heavenly Father, why did you make me do this? This was really, really hard. I'm still learning why that was important, but I won't deny that that's what Heavenly Father wanted me to do. So I did it. And sometimes that's what you do. You do it because you got an answer to prayer, and so you do it.
And that's hard to not know why.
Yes. It might be the next life before I understand why.
We are running out of time, unfortunately, but I've loved talking to you. This has been so fun getting to know you and hearing your incredible story. And I just love your bravery. I love how brave you are to just put yourself out there and run for offices. You know you're not going to win, but to still put in the effort and do the best you can. And you have been in office and you've done great things. And I hope you continue to run for office because you're fantastic and we need you in politics. But I wanted to close and ask you if you have an invitation for our listeners.
Absolutely. And here is my invitation to you. If you are not ready yet to run for office, find somebody else who is and help them, because we need good friends and we need people who are going to save us from our campaign brains. It might not be your time, but be looking for whose time it is and help them, because you will learn so much by helping them.
I love that. That's fantastic. And a friend telling you to run and helping you run, saying, I'll be there for you. I've talked to so many women who that's what they needed. They needed to know somebody was in it with them. And you can make a big impact, even if you're not ready to run yourself. So I appreciate that so much. And thank you so much for joining us. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope we can talk again soon.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to Project Elected podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to projectelectwomen.org. We're also on Instagram and Facebook as Project Elect Women. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate us, or give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, thank you.